When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
In the pistol, he gives it to Barkley, who cuts outside. He's at the 40, the 50, the 40. He's going to go again. He's going to go again. Touchdown, Saquon Barkley. His all-time record, 72 yards.
MVP? As the Philadelphia Eagles win their seventh straight game on Sunday Night Football. Good morning, Metroplex. It's a Cowboys Monday, but you know we have to also focus on the NFC East and everything else that happened. We got a Post Malone ticket giveaway coming up during the commercial-free 720 Expressway on DFW Sports Station. 255 for Saquon.
Is that good? Like, do you want to have that many yards?
255 yards. Over his last two games, 58 touches for 500 total yards and four touchdowns. Someone said Saquon had 302 and two total. The Giants' whole offense had 245 and one. And Micah Parsons, with the reminder again, front office critique, what are you doing? New York Giants, you let the generational talent go to a really, really good football team. Is Saquon MVP legit?
I think it is. He's played really well, and for lack of typical quarterback standout candidates, yeah. Like, I mean, he's absolutely up there. I will say, though, the whole Giants line is still, I'm sure he would have almost 1,400 yards with the Giants through 11 games. That absolutely would have happened.
Yeah, and
I'm
it totally fits what they're doing as well.
Yeah.
He would have had them probably first or second in the division.
Absolutely. You know how quickly he would have been shut down for the season with an injury? Because they're like, no, you're not helping us win football games. Go to the doctor,
please. And the fact that John Mara, that clip, that viral clip, keeps getting replayed, may have that wrong thought process is great for us. It's Stone Age. It's dinosaur. And he didn't even talk about how good Saquon could make them as a team. He goes, well, he's by far our most popular player. That's where his mind went.
Where's the Jerry criticism for that?
Yeah, it's the number one jersey sales. That is a Jerry Jones stigma that is thrown out there.
Right. Now, the difference is that Mara, and this is positive for Mara, they put somebody in charge that's supposed to worry about the personnel. I have no problem if the owner is like worried about marketing and jersey sales. Problem is Jerry muddles the two.
Yeah.
Right? He it's very difficult to differentiate and put different hats on.
What we're seeing and what we're watching is someone who is just different physically, and it's not hard to see. It was hard to see in New York when he didn't have running lanes or holes to get to that second level, but we are watching someone when you look at him physically that's just different from everyone else.
This contract is going to age poorly. Most likely, it's going to age poorly. But right now, it looks like it is, along with Derrick Henry, like the signing of the offseason. Like, there's no doubt.
He is, over the last six games, he's averaging 180 yards from scrimmage a game. That's insane. He's on pace right now to break Eric Dickerson's record. Like, he needs 119 yards per game over the last 6 weeks. He's averaging this season, I think it's 126. And so, I mean, he's on pace to do it. And I saw some people last night that were trying to say, somebody had replied and said, got to be an asterisk next to that because he did 17 games. Eric Dickerson did it in 16. It's like nobody ever threw an asterisk on Eric Dickerson, and OJ did it in 14 games.
Right.
And so, like, I'm not going to take one extra game, especially if Saquon's going to average, what is he at now? 6.2 yards per carry.
So the Philadelphia Eagles now in the division, they have a stranglehold. They're 9-2. The Commanders are second at 7-5. Obviously, everyone else is under 500, including the Cowboys' next opponent.
Toss pitch to the right side. Rashad White's got blockers. He's to the pylon. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. 1 yard touchdown run. A toss pitch to the right side.
This was hideous. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers with Baker Mayfield going to New York and face Tommy DeVito and Drew Lock, 30-7 Tampa. And Malik Nabers is popping off afterwards. He ended up with 6 for 64, and Malik is still not happy, not getting the ball enough.
Go out there first, second quarter, don't get the ball, start getting targets at the end. I mean, can't do nothing. Start getting the ball when it's 30-0.
Stop.
What do you want me to do?
He is rocking this gum like Pete Carroll.
Oh, yeah. Chomping on that thing.
Listen to the smacking from Malik.
Go out there first, second quarter, don't get the ball, start getting targets at the end. I mean, can't do nothing. Start getting the ball when it's 30-0. What do you want me to do?
Why in the first half are they not looking at you?
I don't know. Talk to Dave about that. Talk to Dave.
Did you say something to the coaches at that time?
I mean, they know. They come up to me, ask me what plays I want. That was that. I mean, I don't know. I don't know, man.
Who did he say to ask?
Dabes.
Okay, I thought he said Dave. I was like, Gettleman?
And he had 6 for 64, was second and third, and really, you know, bums throwing him the football. Yeah. It's like, what other type of line are you expecting out there?
Boy, LSU receivers, man. Ja'Marr Chase last week, I don't know, talk to the coach.
Odell.
Malik Nabers, talk to the coach. Odell, talk to the coach. Jarvis Landry was like that, talk to the coach. That's just an LSU that receiver mindset, I guess.
They got players, but they have that same mindset. There's no doubt. I mean, I needed one interception from Tommy DeVito. That's all I needed. I needed one pick. I bet on him to get one pick.
Well, Baker picked on him doing the DeVito celebration. They asked Baker about it afterwards, and apparently he was straight-faced. He said, tribute to Tommy. He's a good dude. I saw him in Vegas at the Super Bowl. He said it was like a scene from a mob movie, that DeVito had his chain blinged out, walking through the casino, swag walking. It was awesome. It was like a movie scene, honestly. So that is Baker Mayfield and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers putting it on the Giants, who fall to 2-9.
I love Baker. Baker's got such a transformation.
What was the story last week you loved?
Yeah, he had outfitted this high school team called the Space Coast Vipers. It's a small, very small school. It's like 1A. It's 1A in Florida. I assume 1A in Florida and Class A in Texas is the same. So I assume it's the smallest of the schools. And he outfitted them with uniforms, helmets, almost 20 grand he gave the school. And they wind up going from 3-9 to winning the state championship this year in that class. So good on them.
All right. The Daniel Jones situation playing out even more over the weekend. So we didn't get to even more of this on Friday. Ben DiNucci coming out and saying we all overreacted to the disrespect of Daniel Jones playing safety at practice. And we should ask McCarthy. On Friday when we had him on, DiNucci said, guys, I've done this multiple times. When you're third string, you play safety in practice.
Yes, but no.
Not when you're formerly the $40 million.
You do not. Pay. And here's what you do. And this is where Ben's wrong. What you don't do is you don't do it during the media open portion of practice. They don't do that. That is Ben DiNucci's career and Daniel Jones's career. No disrespect, are not the same. And when you're talking about the guy that's been paid $40 million recently, was the starter, to not just bench him, but then plummet him to fourth and in front of the media go, hey, put on one of those red jerseys and go stand at safety for us. That was go get your shine box. That's what that was.
So Daniel Jones then gives his Tony Romo meritocracy speech.
Peyton, do you know that reference, by the way?
No.
I was about to say he's not that young, but I guess he is.
Was it that old?
He was 20 when it happened. That was the Tony Romo. What all did he say there?
No, that's from Goodfellas.
No, the Romo?
Oh, the go get your shine box.
No, Goodfellas. I thought you said the Romo meritocracy. We both thought you said that.
I thought you were referring to my
Romo. Oh, no, because I just thought, because Bobby had just said the go get your shine box.
We're like 2 seconds behind, like the plays yesterday with the McLaurin touchdown. So he gives this eulogy, and it's like, why'd you need to do that? Like, you're a scrub. Just go sit on the bench and collect your money. Well, because he knew he was putting in his request to get released, the New York Giants granted it. Mm-hmm. So Daniel Jones is expected to clear way. There's already been way too much dedication to this story from the national media, because now Adam Schefter's coming out. Daniel Jones hopes to end up on a winner. He's eyeing a playoff team to go and ride the bench. Who cares? Who cares? I saw Dallas Cowboy fun of go get Daniel Jones, make it really fun team. For Thanksgiving Day this Thursday. And Stephen Jones, I think, hopped on radio with San Antonio and said, no, that's not going to happen. So Daniel Jones is going to have a new team coming up pretty soon.
He'll sign somewhere, but like I wonder what who would possibly would sign. Like every team has their backups already. Right? They all have their backups. Now, is he an upgrade over the backups? Yeah, I'm sure he is. But now you got to work somebody in, teach them the system with 8 weeks to go.
What if you've got a disappointing contender who their starting quarterback, it was just announced, needs a second MRI to get clarity, and their backup quarterback has a broken finger? Maybe Daniel Jones to San Francisco makes sense.
Over Josh Dobbs?
Kyle Shanahan's shown he can make stuff work. Except this year, I guess.
Except in the fourth quarter.
Except every year without... his guy.
There you go. Exactly. But I would say, like, I mean, Daniel Jones to San Francisco. If Brock Purdy is, if there's something genuinely wrong with Purdy, I don't think Daniel Jones to San Francisco would be bad.
Well, let's go ahead and take it over there.
Love looks it over, and here it is. Hand off Jacobs, burrowing left side, end zone, touchdown, and there is your dagger.
Packers radio with the call. Green Bay was up 17-0 in this game. They pummel the 49ers. This game got close for a second, but 38-10. Green Bay quietly is 8-3.
So Philadelphia is 9-2, and they've got a bigger lead in their division than the Lions have combined over the second and third place team. And the Lions are 10-1.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, this is Green Bay, by the way. This was I had heard this note earlier today. Green Bay, this is the biggest blowout in the history of this rivalry between Green Bay and San Francisco. They've never played a game this far apart, but San Francisco's just, they're broken. That, like, I mean, and it's starting to, you're starting to see more and more.
As broken as Brandon Allen's finger?
Yeah, which Kyle Shanahan just goes, that's an injury report. I don't care. I don't have to report anything. Brandon Allen comes out, he's broken his finger 2 weeks ago taking a snap in practice, and they haven't had that on the injury report at all, which, again, will get them in trouble. But you're starting to see more speculation from San Francisco reporters who are just like, is Kyle totally safe? Is he totally safe if this goes sideways?
Two sideways-looking games on the scoreboard at the end of the noon to 3 o'clock window. One of them had a scare on the road.
Placement is down. Schrader's kick is up. Schrader's kick is good! 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 Spencer Schrader on a 31-yard field goal, and the Chiefs walk it off with a field goal, winning 30-27.
Mitch Holthus with the call on Chiefs Radio. What?
This was wild. This was 27-9. And Bobby's like, Bobby sends a text to the group. He's like, the Kansas City Crimson Chiefs. And I'm like,
20-9. It was not 27.
It was 29. Yeah, I was like, what? The Crimson? They were blowing them out. They're blowing them out. And then they gave it up in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, this is what Kansas City does. Kansas City playing really competitive games with the Carolina Panthers again. And who almost beat them a couple weeks ago?
Denver
almost beat them a couple weeks ago. Cincinnati should have beat them. Kansas City is just, I'm getting really pissed off about how lucky they keep getting with these games. Because this one took a 40-yard Mahomes scramble on the final drive to even set them up for their backup kicker to make this.
What about the Titans getting the W over the Texans? The uniform battle, 32-27. The armpit loses. And falls a 7-5 right after beating the Cowboys.
Don't ever ask me for a Super Bowl prediction again. Houston and San Francisco.
Oh, yeah.
These are maybe these are way up there as two of the most disappointing teams of football. Houston, I saw the number yesterday. Houston in the second half of this game, where they continue to have massive issues with the offense. Houston in the second half of this game, I think, had like 10 net yards in the second half, or it was like 10 net yards passing. It was ridiculous how bad that offense is. And yesterday they had silly stuff happen, like Stroud just has a brain fart and motions two guys and gets an illegal shift penalty. But he was just, it was 54 yards of offense in the second half, and they never got past midfield.
Houston 7-5, the Titans 3-8. Just some of what happened around the rest of the National Football League here on your home of the Cowboys. Back to the win in Washington. We have a Post Malone ticket giveaway. We have more of your phone calls and text messages. And we have a fight on the official post game show of America's team. All of that is coming up in the Commercial Free Expressway with Sean and RJ.
35-yard try for Brandon Aubrey for the first points of the game on the right hash. And Aubrey's kick is blocked and picked up and run back down the left side by Quan Martin, the safety. Well, it's not easy to get 3 points, is it? Ball is spotted at the 32 on the right hash, 42 to tie the game in the first quarter. And this one's away, and this one hit the right upright. And it's no good. Seibert's going to try a 51-yard field goal with the ball right between the hash marks, right to left, waiting for the snap. Way has it. The kick is low, a line drive, and he missed it. And the kick's away, and the kick is wide left. That came off his foot going wide left.
Peyton Russell with the montage of the madness yesterday in Landover, Maryland. Bobby Belt was there as our Cowboys insider, and we're covering it on a Cowboys Monday here on Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan.
I just went and looked at the win probability, and when Dallas punted the ball away to Washington, their win probability was north of 99%. It wasn't quite 100, but it was less than 1% for Washington. The next play, they score the touchdown, and it goes to 50% for Washington to win the game. And then they miss the extra point, and it goes to 1% to win the game. I don't know that there's ever been
We should power rank the absurdity and the likelihood of what happened.
It's the only other game that came to mind, like not even a Dallas game. The only other game, we were talking about it before you got here this morning, Sean. The only other game that reminded me of it was it's the River City Relay. It's that New Orleans pitch and catch where they score the touchdown, and then John Carney just pushed that. And that was back when an extra point was 18 yards or whatever it was. But that's the only other time I can remember this ever happening, where somebody got a chance to tie the game, and then they just pushed the extra point to the side.
The Cowboys closed as 10.5-point underdogs at ESPN Bet. So this is their largest upset win since. Anyone want to guess?
I follow Todd, so I know the answer.
2010, Week 10, when they beat the Giants as a 13-point underdog back in 2010.
That was Garrett's first game, wasn't it?
Yep.
The 41 combined points are the most in the final 9 minutes of regulation since 2012. That was Lions-Titans scoring 43 with everything that happened. Well, the absurdity of the sequence of events, how would you power rank them in terms of, are you kidding me? That, and you got to take into account moment in time as well. So, yeah, you can get a kickoff return, but Turpin, you know, still fumbling it, the spin move.
It's
McLaurin, extra point misses, 2-point conversions, Wanya Thomas.
It's so hard to almost divorce any of that, because it's like, could I see the Cowboys, like the Turpin play on its own? Could I see that happening? Yeah. Could I see the Cowboys having a bust in coverage with 30 seconds left? Yeah. Like all these things, but to have them all collectively happen, the most absurd thing was probably the McLaurin one. I don't know how you let, like,
yeah.
I don't know how you have, and I went back and looked at the play on film this morning. He's surrounded by five people. It's like a ring around McLaurin. And it took the perfect touch of three guys turning just the wrong way a little bit for McLaurin to be able to navigate it.
I mean, Wanya is obviously the fourth. That's, to me, even though it's a play you don't see all that often, it's still fourth. Hmm. I honestly think Turpin's is third.
Yeah.
I honestly, because, like, you know, You can find a way where you, with the new kickoff rules, you can outkick things a little bit. And as they said on the broadcast, when there's a bobble, sometimes the kicking team will kind of let up a little bit and they get out of their zone. I honestly think the miss point after is the number one. Because, like, yeah, you could see the Cowboys blowing something like that with McLaurin. McLaurin was obviously crazy, but that happened after an insane play, which made the entire thing even more insane.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like they didn't have. I kind of wonder if it's just did that sideline not even have time to emotionally recover, like right. Just because it was so frantic and we're in the tunnel watching this.
Well,
so we're just outside the tunnel, so we're watching it on the in-game feed for the most part. But you can hear the crowd, and it is synced up because it's the live feed, and just the roars you heard. Like, the stadium had not gotten any louder than it did with McLaurin. And then it went so quiet, other than all of the stadium staff gasping and going like, oh my gosh, when he pushed the kid. That was, I don't think I've ever seen a game crazier than that one. To me, it's McLaurin, it's the missed kick, then it's Turpin and Wanye.
How about Nikki in Indiana? Can't remember the last time we got a call from Atola in Indiana, listening on the Odyssey app. Good morning, Nikki. You are live on Star Up, Star Down, the home of the Cowboys.
Good morning, guys. I am a longtime listener up here in Colts country with the worst fans anywhere.
The Colts? Wait, hang on. The Colts fans are bad?
Such bandwagon fans, man. You can't find them. You can't find them. Just like the IU Hoosiers, man, they're all jumping back on Notre Dame's bandwagon. They're terrible. Okay. They're terrible up here.
All right.
So, start up. I know Wanye Thomas made it to where, Washington had a late chance, but I don't know. Did anyone see him streaking down, blocking for Kevontae Turpin? Ooh. And you got to start up for Brandon Aubrey, man, coming back after, two bad kicks. And, I think as all Cowboys fans, we were all like, all right, here we go. There's a miss. There's a block. I know Sean's all mad about draft spot, but, we're going to be taking offensive line anyway. We're not taking quarterback, wide receiver. Mm. I'll always take a win, especially when it hurts a division rival's playoff chances. But love listening to you guys.
Thank you so much, Nikki. Fantastic call.
Yeah, thank you, Nikki. Kevontae Turpin actually pointed that out. Kevontae Turpin made sure to give Wanye Thomas a lot of credit post-game, that he said when he did the spin move, he said he saw, he's like, all right, I got basically the kicker to beat. He's not catching me unless it's a San Francisco playoff game. Then the kicker catches him. But he said that he got out there and he said, and then gave Wanye credit for getting out in front of him and sealing off the last block and opening it up. But that was as loud as Cowboys fans got all day too, was the Turpin kickoff return.
Let me ask you this, Bobby. If I were to tell you, you pick wherever you want, but you still can find a way to get Campbell from LSU.
Mm-hmm.
Would you sign up for that?
And what is he?
He's a tackle. Some people think he might have to play guard because he has shorter arms.
Or Ashton Jeanty. Or
we need to do a breakdown tomorrow to this point of like what range you're costing yourself falling out of for what? Because Nikki brings up a good point. Yeah, if you're really desperate for quarterback, you're extra ticked off.
Right, you're mad.
If you're not getting Travis Hunter really anyway, if you're not getting the number one pick, how mad should we really be?
Yeah, and you can still find your way into Savania.
Sure.
Arizona. Tackle.
Oh, okay.
James Pierce.
That's not how you say it, but yeah. Pierce might go top five. I don't know yet. Like I got to study more, but he's freaky. Honestly, if you are going to draft an offensive lineman, this is not a top-heavy offensive line draft class like it's been in the past. So if you end up picking 13, you might be around the top offensive lineman in the draft.
Banks?
Yeah, you could get Banks, I would think.
Let's get to the Odyssey app messages. Pepe, what other Tolos do we have?
Yeah, so next up we have Skyler in Godly, Texas. And, he's not trying to be positive, but he's talking about the draft and the Cowboys have ruined his April.
Yesterday was awesome, refreshing. Everybody's going to be in a good mood going into Thanksgiving, beat up on these Giants. It is a misfortune that we don't get that top 10 pick, even though we're only at number 11. But wouldn't it be better to trade out of a top 10 pick and get capital, since we need cheap players and more rookies on rookie contracts than veteran players asking for the top-tier money? What are your thoughts on that? Thanks.
Yeah. You need a lot of cheap draft picks. And ones at the top of your rounds as well.
That's the key. They could have. Let's just say they had the eighth pick. I mean, theoretically, you could trade out of that, pick up an extra third, and then trade back from 8 to 10, pick up a third. And
that's
trade back
that's what they do with
12,
Micah.
And then trade back from 10 to 12, pick up an extra four. Whatever. You can keep stockpiling these picks. This team is. They're not one player away.
Oh no,
they're three players away.
I got another star up. Brought to you by Crown Royal, proud whiskey of the NFL. I know he had the fumble. Great play by the Washington defense. I'm giving a star up to Rico. I thought he looked good. 19 for 86, 4.5 yards a carry. He had 3 catches for 12 yards. So that is a star up that I have for Rico Dowdle.
Can't have anything wrong. I mean, obviously, look, the fumble, that was just the guy muscled it away from you.
Yeah.
That's what that was. It wasn't.
And two of them.
Yeah, he wasn't carrying it, I didn't think, in a lazy manner. He had his arm. The guy just ripped it away. Just a stronger guy ripped it away.
And speaking of ripping it away, star up Donovan Wilson with the strip. Kendricks with the recovery that put the ball on the 44-yard line? And how about, I mean, my two biggest star-ups may just be for the corners. Deron Bland, yo, 6 tackles, 4 catches. McLaurin was erased in this game until the very end. Deron Bland allowed 4 catches for 27 yards. What a freaking return with no digs on the other side.
Yeah, and Bland was, I'm interested to see. I got to see what the exact numbers. It definitely looked like.
And they were avoiding, Greg Olson's like, they're avoiding Deron Bland.
Yeah.
That's why you're getting Noah Brown targeted. Yeah. They're not going to McLaurin because of Deron Bland.
I think what you saw yesterday might be the beginning and the end of digs here. Maybe they move on from him in the offseason. You can probably get something decent for him.
They will. We've kind of referenced that they'll probably move on from one of Diggs or Bland, and you got to figure out which one it's going to be.
You know, Bland, I don't really figure it out.
Well, no, because I'm saying if you're talking about what gets you back more capital, Bland probably would, but Diggs would be if you're saying, oh, I get to keep Bland, and then I also get to get draft capital. I don't think you're getting more than maybe a third for Diggs if you move him, which is what L'Jarius Sneed got.
Mike in Fort Worth. Mike, you're next up on the D&M Leasing Hotline. Go ahead, Mikey.
I'll be with you. Yeah, how's it going, guys?
Staticky.
Hey, Sean, yeah. You're wrong, man. And personally, I don't like that kind of talk. I'm old school about tanking and throwing a game and all that. I know, and I understand where you're coming from. We want the first. It's all right to talk about it. But personally, I'm with Micah. Let's try to make the list get a wild card. If we don't, oh well. Start off next season. But all that tanking talk, Sean, I usually agree with you over Bobby and RJ. But, it's all right to talk about it. Well, I don't like that kind of talk about tanking the season. But anyway, guys, have a good day.
You too. You ended it nicely for me to really go back at you. You're wrong, and all of you are wrong with your team rah-rah. What are you getting out of this 1 week high, maybe a 2 week high against the Giants? Nothing. It's not even fool's gold. It's fool's copper.
Did you go 12?
You could steal copper lines now. It's expensive.
Did you go 12-5 in 2021 because you finished the season 4-3 down the stretch? Like when you won those games, or did you just, you cost yourself Penei Sewell is all you did. Now, it ultimately worked out. You got Micah, but you also wanted J.C. Horn. J.C. Horn got taken ahead. You may have ended up, you could have lost those games, missed out on the guy you wanted, and taken J.C. Horn. And then you would have been saying, we shouldn't have won those games. Right. That wasn't really productive. That kind of set us back a little bit.
Come on, man. It's not even a question.
I feel a little guilty saying it, honestly, that I would want them to have the pick, because you do see, like, there are young players, and they, like I said, you go in the locker after and you just see as people and competitors, they're excited and it's refreshing to them. If it happens every now and then, fine. Don't let this be don't finish 500 the rest of the way, please. Don't do that. Don't finish 7-10 and then cost yourself several spots.
From the 817, Jimmy Johnson would not tank. What do you think the Herschel Walker trade was?
Oh yeah, he actively got worse.
That was a tank.
And again, for the 1 millionth time, we have to clarify: no one is expecting Mike McCarthy to throw a game.
No,
that's not the way it works. No one is expecting players to intentionally drop passes. That's not the way it works. They tried to do it yesterday with everyone missing, and you just hope for them to ultimately get the L.
No, nobody wants Dallas to quit. We just want Washington to be better. Live up to some expectations here, Washington.
Yes. Why do you guys want the Cowboys to lose to punish Jerry, but you don't want the Cowboys? But it's not fine for the Cowboys to lose for a better player.
Yeah.
Well, why is there such a difference? We're all kumbaya together when they're getting smoked in the second half, and it's like, ha ha! I want you to suffer, Jerry and Steven, but you don't want them to lose like this for the better player. Explain that to me. JP and Roanoke, you're up next. JP, you're live here on 105 Through the Fan.
We couldn't have done the worst thing this weekend. I'm so upset that I was hoping Redskins would beat us. I mean, Dallas should just be upset because we're going to pick in the middle rounds again. We could have went for one of the top 3-4, got Shadur in here, got Deion, got some dogs. Deion knows the dogs. He can mentality-wise, he's got it. And Shadur, I mean, we could have brought him in. Excitement, money for all the players with prime time in here. And they did it. That was horrible yesterday. When he scored, Washington, McLaurin, or whoever scored, I was like, thank God, maybe we got a chance. First three picks. let's get Shadur in here, and then let's bring Deion in here, and let's just get excitement back in Dallas. Now we're right back to the middle of the draft, and we're not going to do nothing. And this is, that's the worst thing they could have ever done. Players should have got together. They should have said, hey, man, this season's already over. Now we're going to, okay, so maybe, okay, maybe we win. I was hoping we were going to lose against the Giants.
Yeah. This guy's got a little Peyton Manning draw in
there.
He does. I thought I was hearing a little mumble mouth there from JP and Rono. Good call. David Hellman responded to your Twitter poll where 53% wanted the loss, but surprisingly, that many on the other side wanted the win. I wonder if Giants fans would rather have last year's Tommy DeVito wins or Drake May. Yeah, you got your little freaking cold cut story. You got your pizza specials in New Jersey. Oh, you could have had Drake May. But you and your winning mentality. All right. What happened? Yes. Let's knock out the rest of these. And then what happened with the post-game fight with Brian brought us on this station? Elliot in Maybank. Elliot, you're live here on The Fan.
Hey, guys. I think this all ties back to having a lame duck coach this year because he's having to coach for, like, next season for the rest of the games throughout this season. But I just – these fans that are so happy from a stupid win, they are moronic. I don't get what they're thinking. Like, just old school and that – old school guy with that crappy phone call with all that static. It's like, dude, get a better phone. Get up with the time. Like,
the phone was as old as the tape.
Not old school enough to have a landline, but
Right. Thanks for the call.
It's one of those cordless. We got to extend the antenna.
Yeah, he's got the and then he puts it up. I will say to JP, jumping back to JP real quickly. I've got good and bad news for him. The good news,
you mean Peyton? Peyton Manning.
Yes. Even being there at pick 11. Shador Sanders will be there for you. Bad news. They're not taking Shador Sanders. That's not happening. No. I know you guys want that. That's not happening.
One more message for now on the Odyssey app before we get to the post-game fight.
Yeah, guys, this is Robert in filthy Philadelphia. Here's Robert being a little bit positive after the Cowboys' victory over Washington.
Nothing like being the underdog and upsetting your rival. When Turpin hit that spin cycle, and I almost fell out of my seat. Now, this is a team I really can get behind. Nothing like being the underdog. Go, boys.
I was waiting for the punchline.
I love the accent.
Yeah.
Every word. This is a team I can get. He had the hoogie to him a little bit there. I like that.
Hoogie.
I like that, Robert.
All right. So, shout out Tolo Justin. A couple of other people alerted me saying, I think Tolo Skip. He's like, oh, you may want to check out the post game. I immediately texted Pepe and said, what's happening?
Oh, my goodness. Last night, it was around about 5 o'clock. And look, so this is the Cowboys postgame show with Brian Broaddus, Zach Walchuk of the G-Bag Nation. You got to think, like, these are nine-hour Cowboys broadcasts. We're up here for 9 hours. And so whenever, and, you know, Broaddus is an old crusty, so whenever you get to about hour 7, hour 8, it's like any phone call that gets to him and triggers him, he's going to go after you. You know, you can't be just talking whatever, oh, let's get rid of Dak, let's fire McCarthy. If you have a point, you got to make a point, and he's going to ask you, well, why? What's your opinion or what's your option here if you want to get rid of Dak and McCarthy? So this is Tolo, Jeremy, and San Antonio going back and forth with Brian and Zach Walchuk on the postgame show last night.
Jeremy in San Antonio, what's up, dude?
Thank you for giving me some of your precious time. I need a little bit of what Uncle Jim is drinking over there in his lunch because I'm not really excited about this lipstick on a pig.
Okay.
And you guys want to call us to task, the Cowboys fans, about calling in and saying we should tank.
Yeah.
At what point will you guys at the mothership hold this franchise to task?
You're full of S right now. Uh-oh. You're completely full of S. Uh-oh.
Jeremy, we've been doing it after every single postgame show.
Our shows call these guys to task, you know? We're respectful about it.
I don't agree with that.
I don't agree with you. And you,
what is it that you don't agree with, Jeremy?
What more do you want us to do? What more do you want us to do?
How long does this have to go on?
Well, how much more do you mean has to go on? What more?
We're talking about how fancy and how fun this win is, and it's crap. This culture is crap. The leadership is not good.
They're going to feel okay.
At what point can we hold this franchise accountable?
We do.
At what point where you guys will... You're not. You guys,
Jeremy,
are
you're full of crap. Jeremy, you're full of crap.
I did it last week.
You are so full of crap about this.
I did it last
this.
Week after the loss. I said that Jerry shouldn't even be doing the interviews anymore. Jeremy, open up your damn ears and listen. Do you listen to the postgame show every week, Jeremy? Do you?
Every single week.
Well, then you're lying. You're lying.
You're lying right now.
Longer than you guys have been on the air.
That's fine. Oh, okay. That's awesome.
Sure.
But if you're listening, I've done exactly that. I've done exactly that.
Look at the way you're reacting.
Look at the way you're calling in just being BS.
It's not BS.
It is BS. We hold this team accountable. Every week, Zach, we talk about this team, the losses and what they do. We talk about firing coaches. I worked at DallasCowboys.com and on that platform for 3 years and tried to fire Jason Garrett. Don't tell me about holding guys accountable here.
You're not.
Keep it going. You're fine.
Jeremy.
No, you're the problem. You're the problem.
Thanks so much.
Unrealistic.
Thanks so much for the call.
What a little bee.
That's a drop.
That's a good one.
That's so good.
That's a good one.
Obviously, Broadus and Zach are right and correct, but welcome to our world for 15 years after the Jerry Jones
reality
interview.
Of it.
Welcome. He doesn't listen as much. Some of this probably comes from the program director at the other AM station who continues his little desperate ploy of the paid for station, where people in that building actually laugh at that promo and laugh at him for that message that he tries to send across. But obviously, Broadus and Zach, very critical. Everyone's been killing them. And if you don't listen, you'll have Jeremy's take.
I don't have a problem if Jeremy wants to say he doesn't think we're holding them accountable for XYZ reason. But you have to give XYZ reason. You can't just keep saying, well, you're not. Show me how. They call for people to get fired. They press people. Like we press Jerry on stuff. They pressed Steven on Friday about stuff. Like, it consistently is, they're getting asked these questions and we're calling all the time. I talk about all the time that they should have moved on from McCarthy. Like, these sort of things get laid out consistently.
I think at this point, it's a waste of time. Like, I can't get geared up for this defense.
It is a waste.
No, I get every time. Like, maybe once every, like, month, 2 months, I'll fall for it and get emotional and tired of it, but there's no point.
I just mean from a tactics standpoint. If you want to make the claim, fine, I'll mix it up with you. Tell me what it is, though. You can't just tell me, like, you just are.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't make sense. And Brian, I knew Brian was breathing a sigh of relief yesterday. We were walking out of halftime from the Houston game when it was close, and he's like, they got a shot to win this one. And I was like, yeah. I was like, don't want to mess up that draft pick too bad, though. And Brian was like, I'm just so damn tired of, like, spending 3 hours in the post game where we're talking about, like, I just want one win. Give me a win so it can be, like, a pleasant halftime show. And then this was the most negative one he said. This is the biggest blow he said, was after a win.
After the win.
But I did feel good for Brian then when he said, because I knew that was going to be in a calmer 3 hours for him.
Let's hook you up for turning it on, leaving it on with another monster giveaway.
Always going for it, never pump. Fourth down, last call, Hail Mary, Prescott, touchdown.
All right, Tolos, that's right. Call number 10 right now at 877-881-1053 wins a pair of tickets to the Post Malone at AT&T Stadium in Arlington Friday, May 9th. That's caller number 10 at 877-881-1053.
Friendsgiving, raw eggs, hibachi, and Sean Taylor, all part of our best and worst of the weekend.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
I'm having a bad fucking weekend.
All right, let's recap what everyone got into at 877-881-1053. That is the Franklin Franco Injury Attorney text line. Start us off, Ralph.
We had a Friendsgiving on Saturday, a night, a late afternoon, early evening at Luca's original baseball team. They started as a rec team at 4 years old, and they wound up becoming like a select team.
What's his current team?
Midland.
What's their name?
The Midland Redskins.
Oh, okay, sorry. I just wanted to clarify. I didn't think you'd walk right into it. Okay.
Yeah. Julian's on the Indians.
No, he's on the Redskins still.
Oh.
No, they're the same team.
They are brothers.
So I think he's technically the Bulls. The Redskins are like the higher team, like the high school level team.
They're right? Like, DC, we'll show you how to have stones here in Texas, not cave to the man.
But this was his, it used to be the, what were we, the Colleyville Braves, and then we became the Naturals, and then the Sticks, and then Mitts. We kind of morphed. And there, I'll tell you, there's nothing stranger. And we hadn't seen this. There was about 50 people there. We hadn't seen a lot of them in about a year and a half. And that's a big gap when you're 14-year-old kids. Because the last time we saw these kids, they were literally kids, and now they're adults. Now they got jawlines and necks, and they're working out, and it's just like, what happened to these children? And, you know, so it was great to see everybody. This was down in Southwest Fort Worth. This house, this neighborhood, you would love this neighborhood. Hills, giant homes, long, like something you don't see. Long driveways. I never see a long driveway anymore. I love long driveways. You don't see that. Mm-hmm. But it was
it's a biatch on garbage day, though.
I bet. But the first taste of Thanksgiving food, right? Had the mac and cheese, had the stuffing, had the turkey, everything.
What'd you guys bring?
Well, they trusted me with the paper plates and the flatware.
Okay.
And the drink cups, right? That's what they trusted me with. The unsweet tea was, there was no alcohol.
Ooh.
The unsweet tea was fantastic.
You guys brought your flasks?
No,
you guys are to drive that.
Flasks.
Starts shaking.
He brings his big gulp.
Yeah, it's a big gulp. We don't bring flasks. Yeah. But it was great to see everybody because we hadn't seen anybody in quite a while. So that was the best. By the way, I also turned the sprinklers off this weekend.
Oh.
Yeah, the worst is, however, I have created a monster.
This is amazing. This is for a number of reasons amazing.
So randomly, you know, Pudge the dog, we'll treat him. We'll put a raw egg on top of his food.
All right, let me stop you right there. When I read this and saw this, my first thing was, so a raw egg is a treat for a dog?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
Is that a thing? I don't know.
He's a raw dog.
A raw egg is the treat?
Here we go. Like, here, you've been a good boy today.
No, I understand the concept of a treat. What I'm not understanding is a raw egg.
Like, do they like it?
Yeah.
He seems to like it.
Okay.
He seems to like it.
You're like, do you beat the egg or you just crack it?
Crack it, and then I'll stir it in. I'll stir it into the food so it gets all over.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so he's chopped stock. He just loves the proats.
Okay.
That's what it is.
So, yeah.
No dog should not eat raw eggs. Google. Raw eggs can contain salmonella, E. coli, which can cause food poisoning in dogs. Yeah. Even clean eggs can contain salmonella, bacteria.
They're supposed to be eating raw. They can eat a raw diet. You raw steak to a dog.
That was written by people who didn't walk home from school back in the day.
Eggs are healthy for dogs with raw. I just didn't know that they like loved it.
Did RFK Jr. write that? Which one did he write? Did he write yes or no? Well, he didn't eat. I guess he wasn't hungry.
I think they're okay.
Stop it.
I think they're fine to eat.
He didn't.
That sounds like Sling Blade almost.
One day he didn't eat the food, right? So I put the raw egg in it. So obviously it becomes soggy and stuck together.
Oh.
So I didn't want to just throw it away. So I put it in the microwave for like 20 seconds, stirred it up. And now this damn dog will only eat warmed up food now.
Oh.
Bougie.
Now I've got to go and put this food in the microwave every time he wants to eat.
And that would make me gag smelling the microwave. But even when I microwave brisket or barbecue, I'm like, oh, this smells in here for like a piece of pizza. I don't want, to the Bobby theory, I don't want the brisket smell on my pizza and my scrambled eggs reheated. Mm-hmm. And now you got dog food up in your microwave?
It's just dog food up there.
Yeah.
Apparently people are saying that on the Fantastic that it's good for their coat, the egg. Egg is good for their
handicapped
coat.
Spittle's dog needs a lot of eggs.
It's now I got created a monster.
That's amazing.
Now he needs warm foods. Now people are suggesting just put chicken broth, warm chicken broth over it. I mean, that could be tasty.
Hell yeah.
That could be really tasty. Much better than an egg.
Bobbo, best and worst.
Well, I mean, the best was Major Teddy, but I know we need a whole segment for that. I don't want to just try and cram all of that greatness into these couple minutes. But I was in D.C. I did not meet up with Matt Pittman for drinks like we were threatening on the group text.
As I predicted, Matt Pittman, who got the handshake from Jerry Jones on the Cowboys sideline on Meet Church Wednesdays, I was like, Matt's not meeting up with you. He's way too above that now.
Nope. He was feeling a little under the weather Saturday night. Got a little nauseated on the bus back. Didn't look like he was feeling great. And I know he was. I'll let him decide if he wants to tell us next time he's talking. But I watched him pass up drinks at the hotel bar with some very important people because he was not feeling well and needed to go up to his room. So I know he didn't just Big time me. He big timed a few people.
Lamborghini like, sickness. Lamborghini car sickness.
He was walking up there. It looked like with like Dramamine. Like he was not feeling great. So we did not end up doing that. I just stayed in the room. Watched college football.
You had to freak out yourself physically?
Yeah. We were both comparing our ailments because I was looking at the room service stuff, and I was like, that's a weird logo. It looks all like jittery, like a Surge logo or something. And then the closer I walked to it, I was like, oh, now it looks clear. And I'm like, oh crap, my vision's getting worse. Oh. And it's just in the right eye, and it's been kind of sore there. So I started thinking to myself, either I have MS, it's damaging my optical nerves, or glaucoma or something like that. So Matt and I talked about that when we were leaving for the game on Sunday. He walked by. He's like, hey, how's the glaucoma? Or like, you got MS? You okay? And so, but I did spend it in the room watching college football. Got room service. They had Cajun fries, which I didn't know what that meant. Turns out it was just fries with Old Bay on it.
Like Popeyes?
I've never had fries. Like, I've had Old Bay. I've never had Old Bay thrown on fries. That's awesome. Yeah. That's a game changer. That's so good.
Old Bay chips.
Old Bay chips. Yes. I've never even had that.
Might be too strong for you. I mean, it's strong, but yeah, Old Bay is a seasoning on that stuff. Good. Put on some baked potato.
I love Old Bay. Now, I went to the stadium, and I immediately was like, I got to find the Sean Taylor Academy Sports and Outdoors display and see if it's still there. Well, it turns out it's gone. It doesn't exist anymore. They made a decision, I guess, to remove it from the stadium, which, by the way, I'm not the normal one who hates on the Washington State. I like it.
FedEx?
I like it.
Calvin Watkins yesterday like put out a picture of a trash can with a pipe going into it.
I've never had to sit under sewage, to be fair. But when you're just talking about, for me, a big part of the stadium's when I go, it's like, how unique did you make this look? What are the optics like? Aesthetically, how does it look? The long steps leading up to the gates, I think those look really cool outside the stadium.
No.
They've got a couple different, like, they've got the big football statue right outside the gates where people are walking in. I think the color scheme on the seats looks great. I like it.
That place is cold, dense, with no character.
It's better than Jacksonville. Okay. I like it. It does not deserve
even with the pool?
It does not deserve the crap it gets. Here's the issue I had. They take down the Sean Taylor display. They're trying too hard now to this point show that everybody how much they honor Sean Taylor's memory.
Oh, no.
I'm not going to reveal what the exact password is because it could, like, people in the stadium can access
China.
It. But
Russia's watching, listening. They get access.
They've changed their Wi-Fi password in the press box to incorporate Sean Taylor's name. And I feel like you're trying way too hard at this point to be like, look, we will never forget. Never forget. We're going to make him our WPA2 passkey. This is how much we want him to be involved forever in our hearts.
What does WPA2 forever stand for anyway?
I don't know what it is. I just know that's what it says. But
I agree.
It's
like, that feels like it's trying a little bit too much.
Forever in our hearts and in our cell phones and our Wi-Fi settings. We love you forever, Sean Taylor. But that feels like just a little too aggressive over the top.
Pay, are you you're paying people? Tolos cannot be compensated by you to wrap Christmas gifts?
If you're Tolo and you know how to wrap presents with the wrapping paper, call my number. Let me know. RJ knows how to do it. I got a fat fee waiting for you.
I'm
man.
With you, Peyton.
I cannot do it.
It's embarrassing.
I have to like crumble things up at the bottom and tape it, and then I have to set the present right and use the ribbon to like get where like you can't see the rips and everything. It's awful. I'm 0 for 4 already.
Here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna do an Instagram live together.
Oh,
we're gonna join together.
Oh, and you like step by step.
And
the
I will
folds?
Step by step show you how to do
I'm
it.
Down. That's brilliant.
I'm down.
You gotta get 2-way tape though.
I can do that. I got 2-way tape.
Get some double-sided tape.
Okay.
We'll take care of you.
Let's do it.
So what, you just realized I can't do it? And
I've tried for years. I've tried, and I usually, you know, I've lived at home with my parents, you know, in the past, and so I've just said, all right, Mom, Dad, here, you know, you do it, and then now with I'm living with my girlfriend, Mackenzie. She knows how to do it. She's a pro at it, but I can't have her wrap my own gifts.
So you have her wrapping the gifts that you're buying for her?
No. Like, if it's for, like, my parents or brothers, I'll have her wrap it. But if it's for her gifts, I got to figure out how to do this.
Oh, it's nothing better. You almost have to make sure that you go to a store for the gift that will wrap it for you. That's how desperate I am. I won't even get the gift from the store, even though it's maybe what Amanda wants. I'm like, no, you guys wrap the gift? I'll buy from you. 877-881-1053, best and worst of the weekend.
Yeah, I'm going to have to leave early. The Fantex has diagnosed me with a detached retina. And so now I'm looking up symptoms. It looks sort of similar.
Micah says they can still go on a run. Can they? Next on Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fam.